go to Galatians. And I'm going to go to chapter 3. I don't know whether I did it last time or not. Huh? Now, I'm going to go back to chapter 3. You don't think I'll wear it out, do you?
No, you ain't going to wear it.
Okay. Well, that's what I was saying, that just talking about having heretics preach where you're preaching. That's a battle. And that's what Paul was fighting in the churches of Galatians. So chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians. Now, Paul was he was one that would speak the truth. Now, he said, well, he's calling names. No, he's not. That's what they were. That was a matter of fact. They were foolish for entertaining what they were entertaining after what they heard from Paul. So he says, who hath bewitched you? That is to fascinate by false representation. That's what bewitchment means there. People do anything with religion. But Paul said you got bewitched. That you should not obey the truth. The truth has to be obeyed. Salvation doesn't come by our works, but the truth must be obeyed. Matter of fact, there's a place he talks about obeying the gospel, Thessalonians. Obey the how do you obey the gospel? By believing it. First, preaching it surely, but by believing it. You can't just let it pass. So you obey the gospel by believing it. You obey the truth by believing it and putting it into practice. So there's that obedience he's calling for. And he said, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now that evidently set forth, that's a compound Greek word in there. And what you could say was placarded. You get these demonstrations and whatever it is they're wanting or protesting. They got great big words and great big signs that you can't miss them. And that's what Paul is saying, that Christ crucified has been placarded in front of you. You can't miss him. Now this only what I learned of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law. Now that's capital S Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Or by the hearing of faith. It's not by the works of the law.
Amen.
And are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And that word perfect, same word teleo. Are you finished up by the flesh? Well, you may not realize it, but there's a lot of religious people out there that teach exactly that. Oh yes, you have to believe, but then you have to work it. Now, you know, and I'm going to tell you who believes that. All the holiness groups. But after that, then you got to work it. You got to hold out faithful to the end. You got to do it. Yeah, you start in faith, but you got to finish it. That's what Paul's saying they're doing here. And that's what they're still saying. And you won't have to talk very far to talk to many people that believe exactly that. Yeah, I know you have to believe, but you got to do it. Have you ever talked to somebody like that?
Yeah.
Bukus of them. You got to do it. You got to. Well, that word. Made perfect. That's teleo. Finished by the flesh. Now, I'll tell you what. We started out by the Spirit, and that's exactly how we'll finish. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He's given them a little breather there. If it be yet in vain. Give them a little benefit of the doubt there. But after you have suffered, have you suffered so many things in vain? Well, look, Acts 14. Acts 14. In Iconium, verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. There's some of what these folks have suffered. In verse 5, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. See, all these places, Lystra and Derbe and Lyconia, that's all in Galatia, the province. And so, there they are suffering. Verse 19. And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. In verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So there's a suffering that he's talking about that they have done over the gospel. But did you suffer all that stuff in vain? All that pain and agony? Because now you're moving away from the gospel. All right, so if it be yet in vain. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, unless you believed in vain. In chapter 4 of Galatians, he says it too in verse 11. I'm afraid of you lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Well, that in vain meant it was without any effect. It didn't work. You believed the gospel, you believed in vain. If you believed in vain, you're not saved.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. If it be yet in vain, is it in vain to these Galatians? Is it? They've got to answer this. Well, he therefore that ministereth you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now the controversy there is whether that's talking about God or Paul. Well, look at it. He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Sometimes I look at it and think, well, that's probably talking about God. Then other times, no, it could be talking about Paul. I'm not sure. Make up your own mind. Either one of them be all right. If Paul's doing it, he's doing it by the power of God. So, anyway, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Of course, there's Genesis 15:6. And so you look back there, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, how did Abraham believe? How did he begin? By the Spirit and faith. And that's how he ended up too. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Well, and we've talked quite a bit about these eschatological people that say that in 70 AD, when Titus came down on Jerusalem, that God finished with the Jews then. And there's quite a few of them believe that, that the Jews no longer exist as the Jewish nation. But I say this, if that's true, then we, none of us, have any right to believe in eternal security of the believer. Because God doesn't keep his covenants, his promises. But we all know better than that he does.
Amen.
So that's why I could never, ever have even entertained that doctrine. He said, well, I read after so-and-so and I just listened to all this. I wouldn't even read after them.
Amen.
All I have to hear, when they say the Jews no longer exist as a Jewish nation, I don't need to hear any more. Why would I waste my time and what little bit of brain power I've got wasted on them? I don't read after all those heretics. I might read enough to find out what they believe. But when I find out what they believe, I don't need to go any further. And that's the way I feel about that. When I hear something like that, when I hear somebody say, well, you can't take the book of Revelation or Daniel literally. Well, what's the difference in that than some liberal saying you can't believe the Bible? Just difference of degree. He's just saying it about two specific books. They're saying it about the whole book. But if you can do that with two books, how can you be trusted with the rest of it? Or somebody said, well, I don't believe Genesis 1 through 11 is literal, but I believe the rest of the Bible. No, you don't. No, you don't. You either believe it all or you believe none. Remember talking about John MacArthur. Listen to him this morning. He said, you can't separate God from his word. I've been preaching it ever since I've been preaching. You can't separate God from his word. You just can't do it. You can't have God and not his word. You can't separate him. Well, let's just put the Bible down and praise God. You can't do it. And that's why I've never participated in song services. Or they have a sing song. Well, we're going to have a Friday night big service. Going to be lots of gospel singing. And I say, well, who's going to preach? Oh, we're not having preaching. It happens almost weekly. It even happens among churches that believe that the Word of God is supreme. But I've always said this. I mean, I said this from the get-go. What in the world is wrong with believers who don't want to get together and hear the Word of God?
Amen.
That sounds like a major problem to me. Oh, well, we just need a break from it every now and then. Do what? Who needs a break from the Word of God? Oh, no, we've broken too much from it. No, we don't need a break from the Word of God. Well, we need a break from preaching. No, you don't. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not foolish preaching, but foolishness of preaching. We don't need less. We need more. So, I never have participated in a song, so-called gospel sing, when there wasn't any preaching. Never have. I about busted up a singing group over it one time. You remember where Lusby Hill was? Way up Owen County somewhere. So far in Owen County, just about out. back in the country. Yeah, up north of Frankfort, up that way. And I was singing in a group. I wasn't a singer, but they needed somebody to fill in, so I filled in. But I told them, I said, preaching's first to me, not singing. I'll help you until you can find somebody. And so I did, and I told the leader of the group, I said, you know, don't schedule me for anything in his sings. They used to call them singspirations, where there's no preaching, because I won't be there. And he said, okay. So we went up there as having afternoon services. And for country church, there's a lot of people there. And I was riding there in the school car. Had Lexington Baptist College on it and all that. So we got up there, and I smelled a rat from the get-go. And I found the pastor of the church. I said, who's going to be preaching today, bro? Oh, we're not having preaching today. We're just having singing. Really? I went to the guy, the leader of the group. I said, well, I'll see you all later. He said, what do you mean? I said, they're not having preaching. They're just having singing. And I said, and I told you, and I meant what I said. He said, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. He said, how are you going to get there? I'm going to ride my thumb. Well, I went out in the country. I took off. I was about a half mile down the road. And here comes that little old car. Oh, Brother Jackson's going to preach. They went and got him to preach. He wasn't scheduled to preach before that. But I went back, but I was done with him after that. Try to hoodoo me. I done told him what I meant, and I meant what I said. I wouldn't have cared how far I had to walk. If I'd walked all the way home, I'd have walked home. I wouldn't let him put me like that again. I'd be in my own vehicle. Anyway, but I didn't go out with him anymore. Because I don't believe you can separate God from his word. And singing is good. We had some good singing this weekend. And I mean, it was spiritually uplifting, wasn't it? Well, I tell you, Jesus, the Savior, Pilate, me, man, they did that, brought tears to my eyes. I don't know about y'all. Because people singing it meant it. Wasn't singing it for money. They sang it because they meant it. And bless my heart. But the word's got to come. The word's got to be there. Anyway, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same, are the children of Abraham. So what got me off on that, wasn't really off, is that what those guys do that say that the Jewish nation is kaput, is no more. God finished with them in 70 A.D., which is a lie that he did not. Got absolute historical proof that he did not. They were still fighting the Romans in the 3rd century. They say, oh, well, you read in Romans where it says that the Jews are spiritual Jews. I said, so? That's the way it's always been. It's never been any different from that. They which be of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Abraham wasn't a Jew. Abraham was a Chaldean. He was a Gentile. He was a heathen. Idolatrous nation. And God took Abraham and by faith made him a Jew, the progenitor of the Jewish nation. So how did Abraham become a Jew? By grace through faith.
Amen.
He said, well, what about the gospel? Well, that too. Listen, I think that's here, isn't it? Oh, that's the next verse. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen Abraham was a heathen through faith, preached before the gospel. Now that word is proeuangelizomai. Now y'all got to remember that word. All that means is just, it's the same word for gospel. But it's got pro first, before. He preached the gospel to Abraham. So the gospel's not a New Testament doctrine. Not hardly. And then we find out that the gospel was preached to Adam. Genesis 3:15. So the gospel has always been true. And it's been present. And the only way anybody has ever become a child of God is by grace, through faith, in the gospel. Either it's coming or it's already been here. Either looking forward or back to it, it's still by the gospel. So, a Jew of the flesh is not a child of Abraham by faith.
Amen.
He may be genetically, but not spiritually. The only Jews that are Jews are Jews that are Jews through the gospel, by grace through faith. And that's the way it's always been. They act like this is some new revelation, some new doctrine. It's always been true. I'd like for some of them to talk to me about it, but they won't do it. Anyway, the gospel was preached beforehand to Abraham. And then saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There's the gospel, Christ and his seed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Amen.
So a Gentile made a Jew. I'm a Gentile made a Jew. Abraham is my father in the faith. And so is he yours. Then he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, what is this curse? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There's the curse. And here's how we're under the curse. Nobody's ever kept it. So we're under the curse. If you're not in Christ by faith, you're under the curse of the law. And the curse of the law is that the law is weak through the flesh. You can't keep the law. You haven't kept it. In some of those debates we had with the Campbellites, you'd hear them say stuff like, and from the time you're saved, of course, they didn't know what salvation was. You have to keep the law. Well, just think about that. What'd you do about all the sin up to that time? Oh, well, he forgot about that. Oh, no. Every transgression. And those haven't been dealt with. And so you've got to keep it after that. The holiness and the Campbellites, they all believe that. I don't know if they believe it, they preach it, they teach it. So, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone, that's in Deuteronomy 27, that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that all means all in its context, all of the laws. If you're going to keep the law, you've got to keep it all. And you can't have any years missing. You've got to keep it all. And somebody that doesn't understand the significance of that doesn't know anything about anything. To keep all of the law? But if you came forth from your mother's womb speaking lies, it's too late. So it's a curse. Nothing wrong with the law. The law of God's perfect.
Amen.
It's just the law of God is not our Savior.
Right.
The law of God is our condemner, our executor. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Why don't they read that? You'd think they'd go ahead and read some more verses. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. So if you're going to do them, you got to do them all. Do you realize what a horrible curse that would be to be trying to do that? Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for us. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, and he knew no sin. He was made a curse for us. I don't understand the significance of that. I wish I did. My pea brain, my finite brain, is just not capable of grasping the significance of that. That the Creator of the universe was made a curse on my behalf. How do I understand? I can't understand that. I can rejoice in it, but I can't understand it. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through Abraham and the rest of the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
Amen.
And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Well, now, God's always had a law. He put Adam under the law. But the Ten Commandments, they were given in Moses. Moses brought the Ten Commandments. Abraham's 500 years before Moses. And that's when God made that covenant. And so that law can't come back and disannul that. That's what these people are being taught. That the law cancels out the covenant of grace. But it doesn't. That's what he's saying to us. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So, is the law then against the promises of God? No, God forbid, or let it not be. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But there wasn't one that could be given. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Sin is the transgression of the law, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Not that work, but that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law teaches us that we can't keep the law. I don't know if you remember or not, but I don't know how long ago it's been. But I made an illustration of this. I forgot who did it last time. I've done it several times. I picked out one young man and set this thing up. And I said, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to get some dirt on your face. But you don't know this. So I had it set up. So whoever it was, up here on the pulpit, I got a mirror. And I had some, like, I don't know, eyeshadow or something, you know, where I put across his forehead. And I said, now, brother, you know your face is dirty. He says, no, it isn't. I took a shower. And I said, yeah, your face is dirty. I said, everybody, is this face dirty? And they said, yeah. He said, no, it isn't. I took a shower. And there it is, just blatantly up there. And I said, now the Bible says that the law is our schoolmaster, the mirror of God's law, to teach us where we stand before God. And I said, now you can't go around here with a dirty face like that. Well, it's not dirty. I took a shower. Well, I'm going to show you. Now, here's this mirror. I said, now you look in this. He said, well, my face is dirty, isn't it? Now he's looked into the law. Now he sees that his face is dirty. And I said, that mirror is the law. I said, now you got to get your face clean. Take that mirror and scrub it. All that does is spread it. He's got to have something else to clean that face. Because the law won't clean it. It just gets it dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Is there something wrong with the mirror? No. It's functioning just like it was designed to. Where's the problem? This fellow refused to see what he was, and now he doesn't know what to do about it, that he does see it. So, though their sins be as scarlet, double dyed, they shall be white as snow. Anyway, but faith came, before faith came, verse 23, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be reveal, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Because the law shows you what you are. A lawbreaker, a transgressor, that we might be justified by faith. And by the law, the teaching of the law itself You can't get righteous by the law. You just keep getting dirtier and dirtier. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by or through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, hang on to that word, that verse. That's a verse that the Campbellites like to use. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ, they see that's how you get into Christ, by baptism. No, what he's talking about, baptized into Christ, we represented with our baptism what actually did save us. So in that sense, we're baptized into Christ. And so, as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Every one of us, Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female, we all get into Christ the same way. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Amen. And heirs according to the promise. So, no, the Jewish nation is not kaput. The Jewish nation is still the Jewish nation. But, say, well, true Jews are spiritual Jews. Always have been. They were back then. Abraham was. Spiritual Jew. God made him a spiritual Jew. So, that's where we are. Now, neither male nor female, that doesn't mean that there's not gender separation. There is. It just means it doesn't make a difference whether you're male or female. You get into Christ the same way. All right, so that's the third chapter of Genesis, or Galatians.